gonna lift this turn in the lines of mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that tooth and claw. And you don't want to see inside of mine. Chapter 66. Whoa. Bato kept his voice low as he glanced towards the youngsters gathered around Aang. At least he's stopped babbling. At least he's alive, Hakoda reminded his friend. Yes, the boy was a chatterbox at the best of times, and this had been one of the worst days Hakoda could remember in the past 5 years. But talking things to death was apparently how the boy had been raised. What else did everyone expect? If I'd been left paralyzed while my friends were fighting and dying around me, I'd be a wreck too. The men aren't going to see it that way, Bato warned him. There's already talk that this is the second time Azula's left him alive, that he'd rather let her shame him than fight. Air nomads are supposed to be peaceful, after all. And if he can't even handle the Fire Princess... How can he defeat the Fire Lord? Hakoda finished silently. He barely managed to survive her the first time. She did this on purpose, Bato. The Fire Nation doesn't have to fight us if we fall apart now. Earth Kingdom soldiers are supposed to believe the princess did all this? Bato said skeptically. Hakoda, we wouldn't die following a 14-year-old girl. Why would anyone else? The Fire Nation is different. I know, Bato nodded. It took a while, but you and Sokka finally got that through my head. But most people... Hakoda, you can step outside the Water Tribe when you look at things. Sokka, too. It's useful, but it worries people. They don't understand it. I don't either. He admitted, glancing down over the cliff edge as yet another barrel of blasting jelly cooked off on one of the ruined ships. But I know you. No matter how you look at things, you are still one of our tribe. Most of these people, they don't know you. They won't believe what you see. They came for a straight smash of the Fire Lord, and now it's gone to pieces. And the Avatar's gone to pieces right with it. They'll want someone to blame, and the Fire Nation knows where we are. We need a new plan, and we need it fast, before more of those mountain-climbing lunatic home guards show up. If we can't get off this island, they won't have to bring the army. They can just eat away at us like the tide. True enough. Damn. This is still our best chance, Hakoda said firmly. Azula's counting on us to lose heart, to turn on each other. Well, it's working. We're stronger than that. Hakoda swept his gaze over everyone in earshot. We're all stronger than that, or we wouldn't have come this far. We want our nations back. We want to finish this war. He gave them a fierce smile. We're on the Fire Lord's own doorstep. It'd be a shame if we didn't knock. And I'm going to do the knocking. All eyes went to Aang, who was standing, even if Sokka and Katara were pressed suspiciously close to him. Avatar Aang. Hakoda kept every trace of doubt off his face. We're going to have to adjust the plan. Behind them all, Toph looked like she wanted to wince. Chi blocking wears off. I'll be fine by the time we get there. Face pale, Aang swallowed and forged on. Azula finds what you care about, so she can try to destroy it. Well, I'm not going to let her destroy us. This isn't Fire Lord Ozai's world. It's our world, and we're going to take it back. We broke into the Earth King's palace, Sokka said, confidence in every inch of that straight stance. We can break into this one. But the Earth King didn't want you hurt, and you know it. A thousand other objections sprang to Hakoda's mind. Deliberately, he squashed them all. This is still our best chance. We're right behind you, Hakoda said, as confident as his son. You heard them, everyone. Let's make this happen. of all the blockheaded, foolhardy, idealistic... Azula cut herself off as the bison soared into the air, keeping the rest of her curses behind her teeth. Manners. A great name had to have manners, even in the face of idiocy that would make a slugworm blush for shame. I did what you asked, brother dear. Azula thought dryly. I considered whether the Avatar's survival would be good for our nation. I created a plan that should have ensured the little brat did make it. And now he's going to throw that chance away for a feckless assault on the caldera. I guess we're going to have to live with a Water Tribe Avatar after all. Behind her, Agent Bolin cleared his throat.
I'm sorry, Your Highness.
Why? Azula let her lip curl in wry amusement. It's not your fault a 112-year-old Avatar has the common sense the spirits gave to Cave Shrimp.
No, Your Highness,
the Daili agreed, keeping watchful, earthshod feet firmly on the ground to track the roving Onmitsu as they gathered up any surviving home guard stragglers, especially to track Onmitsu leader Anshin.
But it's always annoying when the guest of honor doesn't even admit you threw him a party.
I suppose it's just as well, Azula shrugged. The Fire Lord would have been put out if the Avatar missed the eclipse. She gazed toward the sea, calculating numbers and equipment. Now they have wounded, and they've lost all but two of their ships. Not to mention half of those odd metal submersibles Dai's people found. They have to decide. Do they take the wounded with them, or evacuate? Either way, they lose some of their manpower, assuming they can fit everyone on the boats in the first place. Though with the numbers of rock-headed Earth soldiers still chasing us, they might fit. They could use the submersibles to bring anyone who can't fit, but then their waterbenders will come to the fight exhausted. But there's something even more important than that. Azula met her agent's gaze squarely. Honor.
No one's suggesting you were lacking honor. In honor, Your Highness.
I wasn't talking about my honor. She glanced towards her regrouping force, battered and bloody, and they'd lost so many. But their eyes were bright and fierce. Look at them, Agent. These are the veterans too old and wounded for the front lines, the reserve who spend their days watching for pirates, searching for lost fishermen and diving after what the storms leave. Not the army, not the navy, the home guard. And they fought the Avatar and won. Azula smiled, shoving any doubts to the back of her mind. Now, no matter what happens in the caldera, we warned them. The Avatar knows we'll fight to the death. Her smile twisted. Let's see if he still has the stomach for it.
Not hungry?
Kneeling on the tent's ground, Xiu pushed her half-eaten bowl of juke aside without looking at Sergeant Bo. Tent walls around them were only green cloth, but they weighed on her mind like a curtain of lead, almost as heavy as the knowledge of the growing collection of messages in General Fong's custody. Not that Xiu had had the chance to read them, but soldiers did talk, especially when the messages were left tied to trees, came wafting down out of the sky, or at least once were shot into the general's camp flagpole. Esteemed General Fong, you are approaching the domain of Dragon's Wings, see attached, and territory under the wings of the Northern Air Temple. There is no one here you need to fight. Most of us are non-combatants. It would be best for all concerned if you halt your march and send a messenger to parley. If you choose not to negotiate, I will be forced to consider you hostile. Zuko, son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai, Lord of Dragon's Wings.
Shu had a hard enough time thinking of Li as the Fire Lord's son, much less anybody who would call generals hostile. But apparently the first message had also come with a map, a copy of the Earth King's treaty, stamped and sealed, and a request for parley in a scarily formal style of calligraphy that still seemed to make the younger lieutenants shiver. And Sergeant Bo had told her tales of what had happened to General Gong. But Fong's not listening. No, she wasn't hungry at all. I guess after a couple of weeks as a general's guest, it starts getting old. Pushing off his own bowl, the sergeant shrugged.
You get used to it.
A quick grin.
The army food, anyway. Don't know about being a guest. Never stuck around in the stockade that long.
He looked at shadows dancing through the fabric.
Heads up, incoming general.
Xu dusted off her dress, not bothering to rise. If Fong wasn't going to respect her enough to give her a straight answer, instead of mealy-mouthed platitudes of, it's for the greater good, and the worst burns are those you don't feel, then she'd be damned if she... Is that buzzing? It was. Definitely. Xu shot to her feet, hands out by her sides and ready to move. Nothing buzzed like an angry scorpion bee, unless it was a hive of them, and the buzzing coming nearer sounded like a lot of them.
Duck, Sergeant Bo advised.
The tent flap was flung back, and a furious, honey-smeared, scorpion bee-stung general and his aides walked in. Don't laugh, Xu told herself, keeping her face frozen with an act of will as a stray scorpion bee buzzed over to her abandoned bowl. Don't laugh, oh spirits! Sergeant Bo snickered. The glare at General Fong leveled his way froze Xu to the bone. Maybe you were safer with Chief Hakoda. No, don't kid yourself. You were safer with the Water Tribe, even when they wanted to chain Li up and hand him over. Silkweavers had to deal with all kinds of people, especially nobles. Generally, they came in two varieties. The ones that accepted power as a fact of life, so they didn't have to worry about a laugh or two. And the ones that didn't.
I don't understand why the pair of you haven't been more cooperative.
Even stung and furious, Fong still sounded reasonable.
We have a Fire Nation canker infesting Earth Kingdom land. The only cure is to cut it out.
Huh? Sergeant Bo looked oddly subdued. Maybe I'm just an old campaigner, but I could have sworn the people back 40, 50 years ago didn't call this Earth Kingdom land at all, sir.
The dead claim no kingdoms.
General Fong's gaze never left Xu.
Who do you think you're protecting by your silence?
Maybe my own sanity? Because if I have to listen to one more of your bungled mashups of Kyoshi's We Will Fight Them on the Beaches speech, I'm going to tear my own hair out. I've told you everything I know, Xu said, leaning on her grandmother's habit of frozen civility. The Fire Nation ships worked at a truce with the Water Tribe.
Impossible, one of Fong's aides declared.
Ro, she thought his name was.
There can be no peace while the boots of the Fire Nation stride our land.
Call it whatever you want, then. They weren't shooting at each other, Xu stated. I don't know why, I don't know how long it lasted, and I don't know anything about forged land grants. If it's forged. It looks like the Earth King's seal to me.
The Fire Nation has taken Ba Sing Se, Fong declared. Any decree of the Earth King's must be considered suspect until he takes his rightful throne once more.
He drew himself up to his full height, proud hair brushing the top of the tent, not at all daunted by the fact she could look him straight in the eye.
And you expect me to believe your father sent you alone and unchaperoned to investigate silk opportunities?
I was traveling with Sergeant Bo. Xiu said, for what felt like the 100th time. My father was in the same unit as he was years ago. It's perfectly appropriate. And why not? The war disrupts all the usual trade routes, and it's damn hard to raise moths when lords and generals fine us for cutting tree branches and fine us again if we don't grow rice for the army. My family owns hills. Places like that aren't meant to grow rice. Cut down the trees and the whole slope would wash downstream. We're not nobles. We have to pay the tax somehow. A new source of silk threads where the trees aren't getting trampled over. New designs. Trade. This is a chance to make deals, General. And a chance to get as far from Hui Cheng as reasonably possible until she could stop crying herself to sleep at night. Her father had approved. Say that much for Fong. Since she'd been picked up as his guest, she hadn't cried about her ex-fiancé anymore. Dark eyes narrowed and Fong leaned in. What you call trade, I call conspiring with the enemy. Li wasn't anybody's enemy. Xiu wanted to be defiant, but she couldn't help shaking. She'd seen the general stomp a field into quicksand to suck down farmers who didn't want to cooperate with his quartermasters. Yes, he'd let them back out again. Yes, they'd been given credit slips with the backing of the Earth Kingdom for every last bag of grain. Yes, most farmers didn't take that kind of prodding to contribute to the army. They wanted to win the war, after all. But if Ba Sing says fallen, you can't eat paper in winter.
I'd heard that fire nobles can be unnaturally persuasive. I hadn't believed.
The general crossed armored arms, regarding her like a puzzle that refused to be solved.
Don't you realize what those scum will do to you? You know what they are. Their so-called honor rules everything they do. And you saw their prince as a lowly peasant. You'll be lucky if they just execute you. Do you want to be a chained slave? Think of your parents. How could you return to them if you'd been disgraced?
Xiu couldn't help but shudder. That wasn't something she wanted to think about. Ever. But her father had told her two things. Fight and survive.
Now, General, sometimes you've got to give even a demon his due.
Sergeant Bo spoke up.
The Dragon of the West was one damn ruthless killer when we were on the battlefield. But he didn't let things off the field slide. Long as a woman didn't wave a dagger at him, he wouldn't touch her. None of his men would either.
You know it's not General Iroh who's in command over there, Sergeant. Roe snapped, prodding one of his many stings. Would any honorable general have done this? Xiu blinked, let her gaze slide to an indignant scorpion bee who'd sampled her juke and decided no decent bug would have anything to do with the stuff. You mean they're not just swarming? Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
This is not a prank.
Fong's eyes blazed.
We've lost men. Most casualties. But some of them were stung fatally. We've lost equipment. Supplies. When that hive went after the pack beasts and they ran. No honorable commander does this. And you're a tradesman. You have to know the hidden passes.
General! A muddy, wide-eyed messenger skidded to a halt in the opening, dripping gobbets of gray muck. Lieutenant Han's compliments, sir, but there's a problem up the trail. The general gathered his aides with a look and stomped out. Xiu's nose twitched. She wrinkled it and got another acrid waft of the scent. Brimstone? Frowning, Sergeant Bo picked up a stray glob of clay, rolled it between his fingers, and took his own sniff.
Well, damn.
That sounded like real worry. What is it? Xiu asked. Shoulders knotted with tension as she dipped her head for a better look.
You better not know until we tell the general, the old veteran said gravely.
You gotta be surprised. Bushy white brows scrunch down, grim. Brace yourself, little lady. Looks like Prince Zuko's decided Fong's not gonna back down. She had a queasy feeling in the pit of her stomach.
So, what does that mean?
Sergeant Bo's eyes were dark. Means he's through playing nice. Come on.
Come on? Xiu echoed in disbelief, following despite herself. You mean, go past the... On the threshold, she stopped with a squeak, eyes crossing at the gleam off of one of the guard's swords.
Yeah, you're following orders, all neat and proper, Sergeant Bo said testily. Wake up, Private. Your commander's about to jump straight into the soup, and we need to go yank him out.
What's so scary about some smelly mud? Xiu demanded, fed up with the whole ridiculous mess.
Heh. Bo grinned at her, more bared teeth than anything happy. Weaver, right? Not a potter.
He eyed the guards again.
We got Shrinkswell Clays up ahead.
Yes, sir, the nearest said staunchly.
The general's aware of that.
Yeah, but does he know they've got...
She felt it more than heard it. An agonizing rumble that went straight to her bones, capped with distant crunching cracks that were decades-old trees snapping like matchsticks.
Waterbenders. The sergeant groaned. Ah, damn it.
Without looking, he pointed at Xiu.
Stay.
But I can...
Xiu started. No.
But I'm not...
No. The sergeant's eyes were bleak. You don't want to see this, and you need to get ready to pull out any maps you've got.
He heaved a sigh.
The general's going to want an alternate route.
Oma and Xiu.
Xirong crouched by Zuko's side, the pair of them just another muddy brown shadow among standing trees on the crest of an untouched hill.
I never would have believed it could go so fast.
Volcanic clays.
I don't want to look. Zuko could still feel the underground water that had answered his call, flooding upward against the earth's pull to soak hill slopes deeper than rain could ever manage. Still not enough to dislodge clay from the grip of deep oak pine roots, but add a little judicious prying from a Dai Li and the weight of marching feet from Fong's forward division, not to mention the tricky work he and some other earthbenders had pulled off under the trail.
They use clay like that on Ember Island for beauty treatments. Slip on somebody's dropped in the hall? Believe me, you don't forget it.
I don't want to look, but I have to. Chaos. Organized chaos. And the part of him that stayed cold and calculating, even when things were blowing up in his face, recognized that Fong was much, much better than Gong at this. Fong's commanders already had earthbenders up here to shove the top engulfing layer of clay aside and give anybody whose throat wasn't already clogged with muck a fighting chance. There weren't that many who did.
And I wouldn't have believed clay could seal well enough to keep the trail from collapsing into your water pits.
Xirong's voice had the same clinical edge Uncle Iroh used to discuss melting steel in critical locations. Sabotage was an ugly way to fight, meaning a good commander had to know about it, in case it was used against him. Or just in case, Zuko swallowed.
I was almost hoping it wouldn't. If he decided to just go around this valley, he would have lost time. That would have been enough.
When you're fighting spirits, you don't fight fair because they won't, Xirong said quietly. I've never seen that applied to humans before.
He grimaced.
I don't like it.
Good. Keep reminding me of that.
Under the mud, Xirong gave him a sharp look. Zuko's lips curled in a bitter smirk. I spent 3 years crossing the world and getting nowhere. Now I'm getting somewhere. He looked down at the distant bodies sprawled in clay, almost indistinguishable from the mud-smeared logs that crushed them. I need to remember this isn't how I want to do it. He stared over the wrecked pass, thinking of the divisions as yet untouched. We should have killed more of them, enveloped with the Yu Yan, and hit them with everything we had. We're not going to get another free shot. Xurong sputtered.
You, all of the... makes sense, would you?
Try asking the mechanists people to make sense, Zuko grumbled. We keep telling them. Fong's not backing down. What do they say? Give him more time. When one determined earthbender can destroy every crop we have. He cut himself off, trying not to snarl. Well, Fong's had enough time. He didn't leave when we asked nicely. He didn't leave when we set the scorpion bees on him. If he doesn't leave now...
And if Teo and the rest ask for more time?
Xurong asked very carefully. Zuko smirked, cold and determined. Then we point out that the next place Fong is likely to move through are their relatives' farms. How badly do they want to eat this year?
You did that on purpose.
Xurong drew back, startled. That's... The air nomads died, Zuko said deliberately. Because they thought everything that happened on the lowlands wasn't their problem. He let out a hissing breath. They can be air nomads and rot up there on the mountain, or they can be good neighbors who just happen to be airbenders and help. They're not the temple. We're not paying tribute. We are not their damn shield wall. They're in this fight or they're out. I've had enough. Quiet movement shivered the brush near them. Sergeant Kyo faded out of the bushes, brown mottling his armor.
Sir, some of their scouts are getting a little close.
I don't want to be here either. But this was his responsibility.
Did they find the note?
Sir, the sergeant gave him a look.
Right, coming.
Fong would find the latest letter, or he wouldn't. Either way, the trap below ought to give the message loud and clear.
I've tried asking nicely.
Even with this blow, Fong had more soldiers than Dragon's Wings had people. He had to whittle that army down any way he could.
Which means low war. I don't care if Uncle doesn't like it.
And the time to worry about that was after they were clear of Fong's scouts. Now was the time to fall back, watch which way Fong decided to go, and put the finishing touches on what they'd set up for Fong's most likely routes.
And hope Huojin doesn't kill me, even if Luli volunteered.
A few more Marines fell in as they retreated, Rikia humming under his breath. Zuko stifled a snort of laughter, caught Xurong's questioning glance, and mouthed,
"Explain later."
Hopefully, later would be where Xurong could break a few rocks and burn things without drawing a whole army down on their heads. The Daili was upset enough with the reality of low war, knowing the Fire Nation wrote songs about it. I don't get people, but even I know that's not going to go over well. He really hoped Fong paid attention this time.
Next time, I'm bringing the Rattle Vipers.